over in the corner of the studio right now is a good friend and somebody I don't get to see nearly as often as I would like to. She also works at SLB, full disclosure. She's the person who, among other things, helps book our guests, but her appearance here today is through my request that she book herself, not through her own booking of herself. She'll play a song, then we'll talk a little bit. You might know her as Erica May, or more likely, E-May.
There's peace by the river. That's why I come home. It opens my heart. Oh, melts even stone. Oh, it's love in the valley, like the heat in your eyes. Hot as the sun, the space between my cries, and I think I could love you. Think I already do. So come on and show me how well you know me, even though this is new. There's a light in the darkness, shines on through the night. Yes, out on the horizon, adventure's in sight. And I know I can feel you right here by my side, Lord, by my side. Yes, you can't taste it or see it, but love, love can never hide. No, 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 no. Is this what it feels like to choose? I made room in my heart, and it's a perfect fit for you. Oh, you see me, darling, and I see you. Perfectly clear that this love affair just isn't true. No. So I smile for a while as I watch you riding on. And baby, I cry. Oh, I cry you are when I realize. But we'll never pretend. Oh, I think I could love you. No, I already do. You make it so easy. You know how to please me, but you know that.
That's E-May, and it's nice to have E-May in Pittsburgh for a change. How have you been?
Oh, I've been great, yeah. Been a long time, too long.
Yeah, this is a busy time of the year for you, isn't it? You've got a lot going on.
Yeah, I do.
Are you performing in town anywhere over the next week or so?
Yeah, I'll be hosting the Acoustic Cafe open stage on Monday night. So throughout the night, I'll play a bunch of songs, but mostly it's a chance to get other people on stage and perform with them.
Excellent. And I think it's no secret you've got a dual life now out in West Virginia. You're pretty open. You're a very open person. Living out in Blue Fork.
Close. Dry Fork. Opposite of Wet Spoon.
Yeah. I always want to say, every now and then I slip, and I thought I would. Thought I was going to slip, so I changed it at the last moment. Dry Fork, West Virginia, yeah. Opposite of Wet Spoon. I like it much better than opposite of Wet Knife. But how's life been for you in West Virginia?
It's great. I live on a farm, and we are beekeepers. My partner Ben's a beekeeper and raises bees and makes honey. Well, the bees make the honey. He makes the wine from the honey. And I do a lot of gardening and plant flowers, and so the bees really like that, it seems, these days.
Yeah, and there's still, I know you've been involved with the Purple Fiddle and a few other places down there.
The Purple Fiddle's great. I'm such a live music fan, so to live way out in the country, it would be pretty hard for me if there weren't some amazing music venue, 20 minutes from my door. So the Purple Fiddle is that. It's great. So I host an open stage there the second Tuesday of every month, and go there way more frequently than that.
That's great. What shows up at the open stage in terms of genres and ages? I'd be curious because there is a lot of indigenous music in West Virginia. One of the things, I've spent a lot of time vacationing in West Virginia and traveling. And years ago, downtown Wheeling had at least 5 music stores. And I mean in my lifetime, not that long ago, like in, I would say maybe in the late 80s. It was incredible. I mean, good, real solid music stores all within that small downtown area.
Yeah.
And music's been a big part of a lot of people's lives. Not that it isn't here too, but West Virginia has a very I think unusual affinity for its music.
Definitely. I grew up outside of Boston where there's a huge music scene and moved to Pittsburgh where I definitely found and cultivated something that I've really loved here. And moving to West Virginia, people are like, where are you going to get your music fix? And between the fiddle and things like Augusta Heritage Festival, which is going on right now, I think it's Irish Week there, so it's 5 weeks of workshops and classes and performances and jams and concerts and dances, and that's just one thing that happens. It's kind of a big thing, but
yeah,
there's music festivals. There's a ton of, basically everywhere you go, you should bring an instrument because there's going to be people that want to play. And I play in a band called the Follow Your Bliss Band, and we're called the Follow Your Bliss Band because we all met at the Follow Your Bliss Festival and sometime between 2 and 4 in the morning decided we should form a band together.
Where is that festival?
It's in Helvetia, which if you've never been to Helvetia, West Virginia, you should definitely go. It's the closest you can get to the Swiss Alps, this side of, the ocean.
And the open stages are well attended at the Purple Fiddle in terms of musicians?
Oh, it's great. You asked about the genres and we've had everything age-wise, from a 4-year-old first time on stage playing harmonica, love her, to, guys that have clearly been playing for twice as long as I've been alive, so, and are probably 3 times as old, and playing traditional folk music or, usually they're the traditional guys, but great finger pickers. Style-wise, we've had folk, we've had an African drummer, we have had a couple people playing metal. it's not just strictly acoustic or we haven't had any. Oh, we have had spoken word. We have a poet that comes down pretty regularly and he gets up on stage with his girlfriend's son a lot. So that's really fun.
Oh, that's great. This is Ime who's playing with us today. And tell me about the first song. I meant to ask you I'm assuming everything you're playing today is from your own head and heart.
Yeah, I usually try to throw in a cover. We'll see if we do it or not. But that one was an original. It's called Peace by the River. I've been releasing, homemade demos for a couple years now, and that's on the Spring 2013 one, which is the last official release. There's one more that has kind of been released, but not really since then. But
what would you like to play next?
Well, we're talking about West Virginia, so I think I'll do my love song for West Virginia. Last time I was here, I played my love song for Pittsburgh. So,
once again, here's Hebe.
It's called Canane. I live right outside Canane Valley, which is a beautiful high mountain valley. Four seasons. Down the Monongahela River, further south than I've ever known, I hear the rustle of wheat and the songbirds that tweet as the wind rolls on and on. I sit out in the sun, knowing nothing is wrong, but when darkness comes, it's just the time to rest these weary bones, and they sound like a ooh, ooh. Love is all we need. It sounds like a ooh, 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 ooh. Love it cures all pain. It sounds like a ooh, ooh, ooh. Love is everything. Love does not keep to itself. Love wants more of itself. Oh, love is all we ever really need. Just south of Canane, where I found my light again. He looks so glad to see me. I'm gonna let him take me in. 'Cause in the night sky, this wandering eye caught the western light. Seems Orion's here to tell me, dear, that I am home again. It sounds like a ooh, 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 ooh. Love is all we need. It sounds like a ooh, 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 ooh. Love, it feels no pain. Oh, it sounds like a ooh, 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 ooh. Love is everything. Love does not keep to itself. Love wants more of itself. Oh, love is all we ever really need. Ooh, ooh, love. 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 Ooh, hey, hey, oh, ooh, ooh, love is everything. Ever really need.
That's Hebe at the Saturday Light Brigade. ericamay.com is how you can learn more about her music, her painting, her work, maybe her honey farm or her honey's honey farm. But I know I caught up going to the website a couple days ago and to see what you're up to, which is great. Hey, do you remember when you first really got a desire to want to write music, play music?
Yeah, I saw a piano lounge singer when I was a kid, and you know, just the hall was echoing with this gorgeous thing that I didn't even know what it was, because I don't think I'd experienced much live music to that point, or at least not that my memory remembers. And
so you were like under 10? I mean, very young.
I was probably like 4 or 5 at this point, and I just like attached myself to the table next to her. You know, there was no one else around me. My mom was off doing her thing because she was like, oh, she's entertained. So I sat and watched her play piano for probably a half an hour, an hour. You know, it seemed like forever in this young child's mind. And then I got a chance to, you know, at the end of her set or whatnot, she looked at me and she said, do you want to play a song? And I nodded. Yeah, 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 I do. She said, do you know any songs? I said, no. Shook my head, no. She said, do you want to learn a song? And I mean, I about fell over. But she sat me down on the piano stool and taught me Ode to Joy right there. So my mom talked to her afterwards. She became my piano teacher for a number of years.
Look at that. What's her name?
Her name's Cindy Chung. And I've tried to look her up. I haven't found her, but I'd really love to thank her. So Cindy Chung, if you're listening out there, thank you.
Attention, Cindy Chung. And this was in Massachusetts?
It was, yeah.
That's it's amazing. I suspect music would have found you or vice versa otherwise, but you wonder had that moment not occurred.
It kept finding me too. Yeah. You know, I was kind of reflecting. I read a lot of melancholy songs, you know, more these days they're happy songs, but that's, you know, I guess a sign of the times. My life is pretty good and I'm pretty happy, but there was a time that, you know, my dad passed away when I was a kid, and at the time I was taking piano lessons with Cindy. And, you know, no one knows how to talk to a 6-year-old about death. I mean, you got to be kind of trained for it, especially when it's unexpected.
Yeah, you were only 6, mm-hmm. Which had to be losing your daddy, you know, at the age of 6. And Cindy was a good constant, I'm sure.
Well, what she did was she sat me, you know, she didn't say much. She sat me down in front of Eric Clapton's Tears in Heaven. And I learned how to play that song. I can't play it on guitar, but I can play it this day on piano. And it gave me an opportunity to see music as a way of healing and communicating sorrow and grief. And so I think for a long time, I used it as an outlet for that more than anything else. And, you know, as I grow older, I'm like, wow, music can really express anything that humans feel or want to delve into. So,
Yeah, it's amazing and also transformative, too, in
Definitely.
Terms of lifting your spirits or sometimes wallowing right along with you. Mm-hmm. What would you like to play next?
With that in mind, I have a song I wrote for, I wasn't expecting to play this, but I wrote a song for my friend Maggie when her son passed away. And so this is, speaking of what we were just talking about, you know, a pretty clear example of that. I was working here at the time, and after work, I went over next door to the New Hazlet, where there was a piano and a guitar that I often played, and started writing this song. So I wrote this song right next door the day after he passed. And
do you recall about how old he was?
He was early 30s, I want to say. He was a military, about to go back to Afghanistan, and died in a motorcycle accident.
Oh, my.
So, I mean, I just heard her grief, so I quote her in this song.
I think I remember the circumstances now. Mm-hmm. Well, once again, here's Ime.
All right. I'll bring it back up, but this is, you know, keeping it real. I think that's important. This one's called Hole in the Sky. Rolling thunder,
life, but not this time, no, no, not this time. You found the hole in the sky. She's watched you burn. She's watched you burn. She's watched you fly. She's watched you tumble from the sky. And just crazy turn your life adjourned. So much for that dusty road. And she said, if I wasn't absolutely sure that there was love in the world, I'd have no idea where to go from here. 'Cause you've always come back to life, but not this time. No, no, not this time. Nothing's gonna bring you back this time. No, no, I said not this time. Not this time. You found the hole in the sky.
That's Hime here on the show that gets your weekend off to a good start, the Saturday, Light Brigade Saturday. Mornings on Community Radio. Thanks for being with us today. That's a beautiful song that had to offer quite a lot of comfort and message to Maggie. I think about just back from his second tour of duty.
Yeah, second or third. He was a... in the air, whatever the AA airline, you know, he's jumping out of planes.
Right.
And the parachute.
And then tragically, I'm sure his mother, the last thing on her mind would be, I'm sure she thought of her son's mortality probably constantly, not when he was back home,
which is
often, you know, things kind of creep up and grab us when we're not expecting it.
Mm-hmm. That line that I quote her in, I think, is really descriptive of what she's done with it, you know, and I didn't know at the time, but, you know, if I wasn't sure that there was love here, I'd have no idea what to do. She's gone on to since become a yoga instructor. She was always a yoga instructor, but she's now working with veterans who are suffering PTSD and trauma and maybe injury that are preventing them from going to like a normal yoga class, or anxiety, whatever it is. And she's working with them doing the Wounded Warriors Project. And
oh, that's great.
Such a good way to turn, you know, her loss into something that can benefit the community.
Well, she's probably serving a lot of men and women roughly the age of her son, and which has to be therapeutic for her as well, but also the number of, we could really go off on a big tangent, but we need more folks to help people with PTSD and other allegedly invisible problems of folks coming back.
Gosh, I mean, just more caring work in general. The more I look around, the more I say, I think the world could use people to commit to what they believe in and to caring and healing. So.
And there are, you know, that said, on a positive front, you know, we just spent here at SLB, and Erica's a member of the family here. We spent, 15 teens here with us last week, about the same number the week before, creating radio documentaries, and you'll hear them eventually here when they're ready, but documentaries on topics such as making sure children are in the care of people that have been screened to be sure that their records and character are as clear as they can be, providing support to children whose parents are incarcerated, providing better support to African American girls who find themselves in the criminal justice system, often unfairly. The topics they chose are just amazing, and it gives you a lot of hope for the future. We spent quite a lot of time. One of the more interesting ones, too, was a girl herself who had just aged out of foster care, and who would have thought that a big problem of aging out of foster care is getting a student loan, because nobody can co-sign your loan. There's not a natural relative, generally a mom or a dad, that can co-sign that loan. There's lots of issues dealing with aging out of foster care. What was remarkable is not just that Jamie, who was in that situation, wanted to do the story, but she was paired with two people, self-selected, that very much wanted to amplify her story and her situation, neither of whom had any difficulty given the home environment they had. And they really wanted to sort of pick up the mantle and push the message across. We had a similar thing happen with a boy who's a Somalia Bantu, one-time refugee who came to Pittsburgh and wanted to tell his story. And two students wanted to help him, who had a much different situation. So we saw a lot of nice microcosms of caring.
Oh, I love stories like that. There's a meditation group that meets in Elkins, West Virginia, that, you know, we were kind of talking about why we got into meditating and, you know, why I got into it. It's, you know, early trauma meets, you know, some other things that I really wanted to process. And meditation's really good for that. And he was like, yeah, you know, everything was good for me. I had no tragedy, no trauma. I love helping people. And this really helps clear away, and it helps me facilitate something that will help. I was like, man, that's... it's great. You know, you don't necessarily have to come from a hard background to help someone that needs your help.
Yeah, it's a good point. Erica May is whose voice you're hearing, and I see her adjusting a capo. That means she probably has a song in mind, and I want to be sure we do hear more. I just put a picture of her and her website up on our Facebook page, but easy enough to find it. Erica with a K, May.com.
This one's a song about loving through the hard times. I read a lot of love songs, it sounds like, you know, but they're all for different things. So this one's, it's a lot about self-love and loving the people that are suffering the most, which, you know, often can be the ones that are causing you pain or causing themselves pain. So, but it's a song called Where Do You Go?
Darling, where do you go
day is young and the sun is low. Darling, where do you go out in the morning before the first sound of the crow? And you know I'm not here to fight, I just want to hold you and let you know it will all be alright. And when the last skeleton goes, I'm going to welcome you home. Cause darling, I do love you, and I do not lie to you like you're used to. Darling, darling, I do, oh, oh, I love you through and through. So tell me, where do you go? Where do you go? Where do you go? Oh, oh, where do you go? Where do you go, darling? Where do you go? Oh, oh, oh. Oh, 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 oh. Long, 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 oh, 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 oh. When he comes to my door, I'm going to stand tall and true and tell him that I still adore you. Even after all he put you through. Cause darling, I do love you, and I do. I run from you like you're used to. Darling, darling, I do. And I will give you my heart to hold on to. Oh, darling, darling, I do. Yes, do not lie to you. Do not run, I'll always come to your side. So just tell me, where do you go? Where do you go? Where do you go? Where do you go? Oh, oh, where do you go? Oh, oh, oh. Darling, where do you go when the light is gone? And the moon is sinking. Oh.
Erica May at the Saturday Light Brigade. Email to you, to everybody. I think people know you by both of those monikers these days.
It's pretty split, 50-50, thanks to Facebook. Everyone that knows me pre or outside of Facebook calls me Ime, but everyone else seems to think I'm Erica these days.
Yeah, it's interesting. Well, you know, here in Pittsburgh, there's also Ime Alakuiva.
Yeah.
And every now and then I'm in a discussion with somebody and I use the pronoun or the name, Ime. And I mean one Ime versus the other. And it leads to some very funny misunderstandings. Like, Ime is in New York City right now directing a film that he's doing.
Like, I thought she was living on a farm growing Brussels sprouts.
Yeah, and I thought she was a girl, you know. And
right. You know. And that's a big one, yeah.
Yeah, that. And or I'll say, Ime's living on a farm with Ben. And it's like,
whoa, life
really?
Change.
Life change for Ime Alakuiva. It doesn't happen so much these days, but it's kind of funny. Are you working on anything
special? He has a radio show, too, or did for a while, helped kids and youth.
Yeah,
so that was extra.
Yeah, he was doing a show, and he's a good guy, too, also with a good heart. Are you working on anything new? Anything? I mean, you always are, but any major projects or?
Yeah, I'm always a dabbler. I'm, I don't know how. Yeah, there's a lot what do I want to disclose? Let's see. There's so much. But,
you don't have to. That's up to you.
It's a good question. I'm such a dabbler. I always have like a couple of fingers in every pie and like it that way. You know, it keeps me from getting bored.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, why do you think that is?
Yeah.
Did you ever try to focus?
No. You know, like music has always been like the undercurrent, something that I love to do. But, you know, I went to school for visual art and then graduated, and it took me a while to realize like I really want to pursue this music thing. So I've been kind of revving that up slowly. And I think it's intimidating. You know, I was just talking with a friend a couple nights ago. You put your heart out on the line when you're an artist, you know, doing this, and you're sensitive types like we are. And, you know, it's hard to sell yourself. It's hard to want to, you know, I've always been big in behind the scenes stuff. I love that. I get so much out of it. But, you know, I think I hit a certain point a couple years ago and I was like, well, what about me? You know, like I want to be performing more. I want to be, you know, sharing this music. And one of my mom's best friends, who I've gotten some great life advice from, Janet Taylor, she said, you know, you're doing the world a disservice by not sharing your music more. And it struck me, you know, like I have this music that I write and that I share. And a lot of people have expressed that they're touched by certain songs or that they've helped them in certain ways or that they're just fun and they enjoy listening. And so, you know, giving some honor to the people that like the music is kind of my reason to do it these days, other than I love it and I'm always going to do it. But that's my reason for sharing it.
You said something that struck me when you finished with your visual arts degree, the MFA from Carnegie Mellon, I think, right? Did you feel any pressure to, so quote unquote, use that degree? Was there any tug of war between music pulling you and perhaps a feel of a necessity to paint or to I'm just curious if that would strike you.
Yeah, there's something interesting there. I started as a visual artist. I kind of morphed into a performing artist during the course of my tenure at CMU. And by the end, I was doing like full-scale installations with sound and texture and myself at the center of it doing all these weird things. So there was, I did kind of take a back seat from being like the performance artist. As I started playing music, it was more about collaboration. And then I got behind the scenes, you know, running sound and booking shows, hosting open stages, things like that. I got a banking job after I left CMU. I burned out a little bit of the having to create, like being forced to create. So Now when I do it, it's really on my own terms. And it seems to be a lot more fruitful that way and a lot less, you know, half-baked.
Yeah, I think some of that comes with age or wisdom or distance, maybe. I know a lot of people these days, and I don't put you in this category at all. I don't think you are, but some people, you know, they really feel that they have to derive direct value from their chosen course of study. Who can blame them, given how much it costs?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think there's something valuable to be said of, like, you're learning things. Like, for example, I was in a very conceptual-based artist school. So now I can get a concept really well, and I can run with the concept well. And I told someone recently that I never used my degree, and it's someone who knows me well and called me out on it. And we're like, you have used your degree every moment of every day since you left, you know, doing creative ventures or, you know, just helping get to the next you know, step of the problem using methods that I learned as an artist.
Yeah, I think that's very true. You know, I've talked about it before. As somebody with an engineering degree, I'm, you know, might not be making a nitrogen plant right now or something. But
you can understand that crazy soundboard in front of you in a way that someone with an art degree might not.
Or how to solve a problem or how to, you know, cause and effect and things like that.
I think there's something to be said, you know, like I don't think anyone ever told me go get a degree to get a career and make money off of it. And I don't know why I didn't put that together myself. But, you know, I never really wanted to be a painter, but I love painting. So, you know, I think there's a disconnect these days that I'm noticing between like people following either they have to choose a career. And so they're picking it going into college or they're picking something. You know, like me, I just pick something I like to do.
Yeah, and I did. I had the same. Maybe it's because we both have Massachusetts-oriented parents.
The brainy ones.
I doubt it. But my parents didn't really push me in any direction either. Something, and you know, that I'm finding kind of refreshing too is kids taking gap years or gap semesters to kind of horse around and distill some non-academic value out of life before choosing to do something a little bit more rigid, which is a good thing.
And investing in that, you know, that student loan,
Yeah.
It's a great video going around online of people talking about the weight of their student debt, and it's just, it's pretty oppressive.
Very much so. Erica May is who you're listening to. E-May to half of you. Erica May to the other half. We probably have time for, it, depending on length, we have about 7 minutes of radio time. With you, Ime, that's either one or two songs, depending on what you want to do. By the way, look for her website, Erica with a K, ericamay.com. I think that's the best way to get to it. We've linked to it as well.
Great. I'll do one and a half that are kind of a medley. How about that?
That sounds great.
This one is Orion into Back to the River, one of my many river songs since moving to the riverous state of West Virginia.
Wants to find its own level, wants to return to the raging sea, shares itself with the thirsty, pushes out of the eddy, fills every living thing so we can be alive. So take this water, take it back to the river. All medicine wants pain to heal, needs a doctor, a patient, little pills, feels our sorrow and ills. Ooh, but our bodies want to move. Remember how it feels and what it's like to be alive. So take this body, send it back, back to the river. Oh, wash my face, clean my soul, send me back, back to the river. Shines the light out every day and still has kindness for our shame. Wants to explode out of the dark so we can be alive. So take this love, take it back, back to the river. Take my life, take my love, oh, send me back, back to the river.
Oh, it's nice to be able to listen to you and to have you back here Monday night at Acoustic Cafe. You'll be hosting the open stage, and you can check out music to download, listen to, purchase, ericamay.com, and any other performances that you're aware of moving into August? Anything close by? Certainly at the Purple Fiddle Monday nights, as you mentioned, but anywhere else?
Yeah, the open stage at the Purple Fiddles Tuesday.
Oh, Tuesday.
I am playing a Monday night at the Fiddle August 3rd, so if anyone wants to vacay on a Monday, you can do that.
There you go. It's not far away. And
I'm in Morgantown tonight.
Oh, so. My gosh.
Yeah.
And Stonewall Jackson State Park is I don't know how close that is to Dry Fork. It is.
It's like an hour-ish.
Yeah, I know it's not far from the Purple Fiddle, and it's a great place to stay. It's a beautiful state park, and there's lots of beautiful places in West Virginia.
Yeah, there is.
Thank you for being here.
Thanks, Larry.
And thank you for being along today. Thanks to Sam Hazo, the great poet, for and just simply great.